Hi everyone, and welcome to Unraveled Radio. I'm your host, Charnell Greer, and today I have a special guest joining us. A little background before we dive. I've recently started self-publishing books on my own, and today's guest is SK Weathers. We met in a Facebook group for self-published authors, and it's been amazing connecting with others who share this journey. And I'm thrilled to bring you to join us with this. SK Weathers is the author of the book.
It's Heart Saga, Book One, Kingdom of Cinders.
Sweet. And it's a fantasy set in a dystopian world where art has been outlawed and the survival is that ultimate challenge. So I'll let her tell you a bit about herself and the book, and we'll go from there.
Okay, well, thank you for having me, Charnel. It's nice. It was so nice to make the connection with you. The book is an epic fantasy on the grimdark side, multi POV. I've been jokingly saying that it's a found family fork the patriarchy book, because I don't want to be kicked off of any social media platforms for just saying it. It's also the tagline for the series, and I like to kind of point this out, is that everybody, as it turns out, everybody should have listened to the old women.
Okay.
That kind of kicks off what it's all about.
And what inspired this story?
Well, the central main character is a young woman named Valo, and she starts out the story in a state of indentured servitude. Locked in forced labor in the cellars of this horrible, grimy city called Liadbur. And I think what inspired Valo was the same thing that brought me to writing fantasy. I had been a literary writer for years and years, publishing short stories in various journals. And like a lot of people, the pandemic hit. And I just, nothing that I did before worked, you know? Like everything needed to change. And I went back to my roots. I was a weird kid who felt locked in and trapped in my very restrictive upbringing in a very weird little town in the 1970s. And so I think that's where Valo comes from.
Bello's journeys feels deeply personal to you, yet universal. Did you fully form her character, or did she evolve as you wrote the book?
Oh, she definitely evolved. I think all of my characters, my world, everything evolved. I started out with this very simple, clean, archetypally pure outline. And as I noted, middle of the pandemic, our panic was kind of evolving as that went along. And I think that digging down into that world and those characters kind of kept me sane. And you can see on the walls behind me, this is my very fancy filing system
Yes.
and sort of a catalog of the evolution of my characters in my story.
Wow. That is wonderful. Sorry about that. So, one of the standout elements in your book is the dire. Am I saying that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
They're the mysterious and almost mythical. Can you share a little bit more about who or what they are without giving away too much?
Sure. I was raised on The Lord of the Rings, like most people, and books by a fantasy author named CJ Cherry. Love her work, by the way. If you haven't read it, read it. And I was always in love with the Sylvan, Elven races, the long-lived, long-haired, beautiful, mysterious, magical people, everything that wasn't part of reality. And So I wanted a taste of that in my story, but I wanted it to be a little maybe less idyllic, but still quite grand. Or it thinks it is. I don't know. So the Dyar are my sort of homage to the Sylvan characters in classical fantasy.
Okay, wonderful. I love how your book balances personal stakes with epic world-altering conflicts. How do you approach that balance in your writing?
Oh, I don't. There's no balance.
Take it how it comes.
I don't know. I don't know. I figure if I'm laughing or crying or on the verge of a nervous breakdown, if I'm eating nervously as I write so that I stand up 5 pounds heavier than when I sat down,
Say
works.
you did a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, your world building is incredibly immersive. Like, it's how did you go about creating the city of Liber and its oppressive environment?
Well, without naming any specific places, I did grow up in places.
I got you.
And in fact, Liadbur is a hog city. Lots of hogs, and I definitely drew from one of my uncles worked at a hog farm, I guess you could call it a hog factory.
Okay,
Okay,
like a
it's a
process.
factory. There's no farm. You think grass is fences? Nope. It was a factory. It was all concrete, all
Oh, wow.
mechanized. He worked up in a control tower, and I did go one time, and I saw that as a child. Which, nope, no child should see that.
Oh,
And
Jesus.
I definitely drew from that in writing about Liadbur.
Wow. That's cool. That's how you took something that wasn't quite the best memory and turned it into something magical in this book.
Well, yeah, that's that. I think that's fantasy for you. It helps you filter the rough stuff into something more connective.
That's true. As a self-published author, what has your journey been like for you, or any advice on how others can consider taking a leap into self-publishing?
Loads. But just tip of the iceberg. Work on building some relationships with other authors before you start trying to do anything. You got to know somebody so that when something goes terribly wrong and some website says, "I'm sorry, your book does not appear," whatever, you have somebody you can quickly message and go, "What the hell?" I mean, you just got to have that kind of support. You do.
Yes, that's wonderful. So far, how's it been, like your platforms and where you have the book besides Amazon?
It's good. It's time consuming. I think that a lot of stuff on the internet, a lot of information on the internet makes it seem like you're going to publish and it's going to be available like that. That is extremely variable, and first time authors should be aware that even if you've published before and it only took 4 days, next time it may take 4 weeks or 3 months.
Wow. Yeah, I've been lucky in that aspect. I transitioned over to doing ebooks most recently because most of my stuff is just like informational. So those are up in 24 hours.
E-platforms are much friendlier.
Yes, how many pages is your book?
Book one is 442.
And how many books are there in total?
Well, I'm planning a 5-book series, so a pentology, but I am, because I'm a complete masochist, toying with the idea of novellas in between.
Oh wow. Your brain's on fire, huh?
I found my place. So
So how many do you have out so far?
just this first one,
The
but book
first
two
one.
is completed. It
Okay.
is in the process of being edited, and book three has begun.
Oh
So
wow.
it won't be long.
That's good. Have you done any type of like in-person book sales or signings or anything like that?
I have not yet, but I mean, my book came out in December.
Okay.
And I am, I'm just going to be honest, a complete hopeless introvert. So, meeting you was a huge leap forward for me.
I'm so glad that we did meet. I had a couple more questions about Lierberg. It's a reflection of a world where greed and apathy have gone unchecked, and I wanted to feel the oppressive, inescapable, almost like the character itself. A lot of inspiration came from, you told me, from your uncle's thing, but any other influences on that city or?
This is a terrible thing for a former teacher to say, but I think that one of the things that helped me when I was in a classroom was understanding how absolutely dreadful school is for a creative kid.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
You do feel like you're locked in a cellar, in the midst of a bunch of people who seem to think something is important, but no matter how hard you try, you just can't quite grasp what it is they're going on about. It just all seemed nonsensical, and as a little kid, quite. Oh, I don't want to misuse the word, but when you're little, and I just thought all adults were just so wicked. They were just wicked. Like, what are they on about? What are they doing?
Taking the fun out of everything.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It was torture. And while that sounds really melodramatic now, to a kid, it's completely real. So it wasn't hard to draw from those experiences and translate them into something. Plus, I mean, well, golly, look around, greed and apathy.
One thing I admire is how Kingdom of Cinders explores themes of creativity and resilience. Why do you think these themes resonate so much today?
Oh, we are in a time when creativity is being devalued, and even villainized, the idea that artists should upload their books for free, and that writers should upload their books for free, and artists should make things available on the internet to be scraped by AI. That's just inevitable. That's what you get. The idea that AI is going to start doing all the creative work that people
Used to,
thrive. The
yes.
doing of, yeah, no. So that's where that comes from.
That's wonderful. You've given us some great advice as far as with the uploading the books and time frames differing, and just overall, really glad to meet you. I can't wait to read the book in more detail. I skimmed it from what you sent me. It's just been a really busy week,
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'd love to have you on again once you get some more series going. We're always here at Unravel Radio to, keep exploring more and more about what you have to offer. Any closing words for us?
I would love to come back, Charnel. I'm a fan.
Thank you so much, SK. It's been an absolute pleasure. And that's a wrap for today's Unraveled Radio. Be sure to check out SK Weather's book. Trust me, it's a must read. Until next time, keep creating and unraveling the stories that matter to you. Peace and love.